God's grace and his mercy be with you tonight through Jesus Christ, the Savior. Amen. Well, tonight is our final sermon in our series on Jonah. We've been doing this series throughout Lent, and this will be the final series sermon in the series. We're going to look at that overall theme from the book about whether we can be absolutely, 100%, totally sure of our good standing in God's favor, even though we're non-Jews, even though we're Gentiles, even though we're outside of the chosen people of God according to the physical descendants of Abraham. Now, we almost take that kind of stuff for granted, but the Bible is very clear about God choosing Abraham and his descendants. And what we know as Christians is something that's been revealed in the last time about God's care for the Gentiles. So let's take a look tonight and make sure that we are totally rock solid and fortified in the truth with respect to our good standing with God through Jesus Christ, though we are not Jews. What right have we to participate in the promises of Abraham? Let's take a look and see what we can learn about that. Why do we doubt these kinds of things? Or why do doubts even ever arise in our mind as to God's good favor towards us? Has that ever happened with you? I think for one reason, because we have a sinful nature, and we see that we're wrestling still with sin in our flesh. You feel that temptation, so we wonder there, oh God, are you okay with me? We also, when we become Christians, we have a heightened sense of sin. You know, when we're just non-Christians, they don't care about sin. They can go ahead and do all kinds of horrible things and sleep at night and everything's perfectly fine. But when you become a Christian, your awareness is so high, and the more you grow in Christ, the higher it gets. So sensitive to sin that you're like, God, are you okay with me? Even when we have the tiniest little wrong thoughts. Also, we got an enemy called the evil one, the devil, who is always trying to fire a doubt into your mind. Oh, God, you're not in good standing with God. You're not under his goodwill. And then also, we might even look at the Bible and think, what right have I to participate in Abraham's promises? You know, there's a lot of things we can read in the Bible that would say, it's not for you. At least it would so seem. For example, we looked at the book of Jonah all the way through this period of Lent. And as for that prophet, Jonah, he was dead set against you. The Gentiles, no way should they be saved. That's his whole thrust. In fact, when God said, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, Jonah, for their wickedness has come up before me, Jonah lit it out of there. He rose and fled to Tarshish on a ship, having paid the fare, and he set to sea. Gentiles saved? No way. So you can read stuff like that and go, well, he didn't think I should be part of God's promises. If you look over at the rest of the Bible, too, you see other evidences that might cause you to shake in your boots a little bit. Be happy for the Jews, but wonder about your own standing. Because I read things like this, where David says in 2 Samuel 7, it's a beautiful verse, he says, what other nation on earth is like thy people Israel, whom God went to redeem to be his people, making himself a name and doing from them great and terrible things by driving out his people, before his people, a nation and its gods. And thou didst establish for thyself thy people Israel to be thy people forever. And thou, O Lord, didst become their God. Does that sound pretty exclusive to you? That's pretty exclusive. It's Israel, it's the chosen descendants, the physical descendants of Abraham that David is talking about. What right do a Gentiles then have to partake and know that they're in good standing before God? None, according to that verse. God makes a distinction throughout the Bible in the Old Testament between the descendants of Abraham and those who are not descendants of Abraham. At the Exodus from Egypt at the Passover, God said through Moses, thus says the Lord, about midnight I'll go through the midst of the land of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits upon the throne, even to the firstborn of the maidservant who is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the cattle. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as has never been, nor shall ever be again. But against any of the people of Israel, either man or beast, not a dog shall growl, that you may know that the Lord makes a distinction between the Egyptians and Israel. Makes a what, Judy? A distinction. God makes a careful, clear-cut division. This is Israel. These are the people of Egypt. Big difference between the two. Also, when they go into the land of Canaan, not long later, Deuteronomy 7, Moses says, when the Lord your God gives the people over to you, you know, the Canaanites, the Gentiles, the non-Jews, and you defeat them, that is, in war, then you must utterly destroy them. You shall not make a covenant with them, and you shall show no mercy to them. Why? Because they would lead the people of Israel astray after sorcerers and such things. But destroy those who are not of my chosen people. You know, when we read these kinds of things, it's like, what right have I to partake of Abraham's promises? When, in fact, God is making a careful distinction. And you might think, well, that's Old Testament. But in the New Testament, we see totally different stuff. Well, kind of, yes. But you might look at verses like this. Remember that one where Jesus is tired and it's a hot day and he sits down beside a well in John chapter 4? And a woman comes to him. Is she a Jew? Cindy, is she a Jew? Good one. Samaritan. And Jesus says to her, you, in other words, you Samaritans, worship what you don't know. We, that is Jews, worship what we do know. For salvation, Jesus says, is from the Jews. Where is salvation from, Sonia? The Jews. It's the Jews' promises. It's the Jews' Messiah. It's the Jews' tree. It's the Jews' salvation. He's telling this woman. If you look over there at Matthew 15, he meets somebody else who's a non-Jew. Matthew 15, verse 22. Jesus meets a woman, a Canaanite woman, because he's in the land of Sidon. That's outside of Israel. And the woman says, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely possessed by a demon. Now you'd think he'd just jump right in there. But it says Jesus didn't answer her a word. Ignored the woman. And she continues to beg him, saying, please, save my daughter. The disciples say, send the woman away. She's crying after us. And Jesus answers. He says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Does that sound kind of exclusive to you, Marlene? Sounds kind of exclusive, right? There is a distinction between the Jews, the sons of Abraham, and those who are not. So what right have I, since I'm a Gentile, to partake of the promises of Abraham, of the salvation of the Jews, of the Jews' Messiah, of the Jews' promises? Because I'm standing before you as one who does. Well, you got to wonder. Besides that, the Jews had a law. And if I want to try to be justified by that law, how do I stand before God on that one? Fail, fail, fail. What right have I to stand, therefore, since I also don't keep their law? But now, let's ask this. Do you have the right to have a good standing before God as a Gentile, as a non-Jew, and be confident when you go out of here tonight of God's good favor towards you in Jesus Christ? You have a right. And where do we see that? We see that most especially in that book of Jonah, which we've been looking at throughout Lent. The overall, overarching, super powerful theme of the entire book is this. God has revealed something, a secret, his heart to all people in that book. Because Jonah says, Gentiles saved? No way, God, I'm out of here. God says, go to that city and cry against it. When Jonah runs away and God sends us fish and drags him to the bottom of the sea, swallowed, and spits him out. God then comes after him again and says, Jonah, you're going to that city. A second time I say, arise and go. Why is that? Dennis, why? God wants these people saved. He wants to give them the opportunity to obtain his mercy, to come under his good favor. Who are these people? They're not only Gentiles and non-Jews, non-descendants of Israel, but they're wicked, horrible people. Terrible sinners. That wicked city, God says. But I'm sending them you there, Jonah, to save them, if perchance they will repent. And what do we read? What happened there in that city? Well, they proclaimed a fast, etc. And when God saw what the people of Nineveh did, how they turned from their evil way, God turned from the evil which he said he would do to them, and he didn't do it. He spared them. He saved them. He brought them under the wings of his mercy and didn't smite and destroy. Because why? He's revealed something that was somewhat hidden for years. A mystery, Paul says, that God ultimately was planning to save the earth. For a time, it's working distinctly with just the Jews, but ultimately, the promises were to save the whole world. Do we see that in the New Testament? Remember Jesus, when he was at his hometown, speaking to Jews, he says, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and amongst his own people. And they were against him. Then he stood up and he read from Isaiah, and he says, in Isaiah, he says, truly I say to you, there were many widows in Israel, in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when there came a great famine over all the land. But Elijah was sent to none of them except only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. Sidon is outside Israel. He says Elijah was only sent to a non-Jew. He goes also and says there were many lepers in Israel in the days of the prophet Elisha. And none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian, a non-Jew. And when Jesus proclaims that in his own synagogue, where the people are like, isn't that lovely? God's wanting to save everybody. That's just great. They take up stones. Let's stone this man. And they wanted to throw him down from the brow of the hill in which their city was built. But he slips away. Jesus is revealing that God's heart has been to save you. All along, to save you, to save me. It was hidden, now revealed. Saving the whole earth. Remember that woman where Jesus says, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he answered her not a word. She continues to beg him to heal her daughter. And what happens? You remember that? He turns to her after she begs again and he says, woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you've desired. And her daughter was healed instantly. You know, he was really just testing her there. Is she going to keep coming after me? Is she going to keep asking me? Is she going to persist in coming after my mercy? Great is your faith. I think he wanted to do it all along. He was for Gentiles as well. The woman at the well, where Jesus says, salvation is from the Jews. Well, that woman was a Gentile, a Samaritan, 5 husbands, divorced, remarried. The one she had now wasn't even her husband. She was living in adultery. Jesus says to her, if you knew who it was who is speaking to you, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. A Gentile, a sinner, a non-Jew, wicked in a sense, for sure. I'm here to give you something by which you'll never thirst again, called eternal life. He's there to save Gentiles, too. And you could go on and on. The Roman centurion, and then Cornelius, and all these others. And God appointed Paul, and he says, I've appointed you to go and speak to the Gentiles, to whom I send you, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of their sins, and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So, is salvation from the Jews? So, like, is salvation from the Jews? Yeah, Jesus said it's from the Jews. The Hebrew Scriptures, this book I'm holding in my hand, whose is this? It's from the Jews. Who is Jesus? A Jew, the son of a Jewish carpenter. His mom was Jewish. He fulfilled the law. He is the Jewish salvation. And yet, the promises now revealed as he wants to save you and you and you and me. Can you have total, confident, 100% perfect certainty that you are in God's good standing tonight and under his great favor, though you be a non-Jew? The answer is absolutely, categorically, unqualifiably yes, because this is the promise of God. He says, it's too light a thing in Isaiah that you, Christ, should be my servant to raise up only the tribes of Jacob and to restore only the preserved of Israel. God says to Christ, I'll give you as a light to the nations that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Beautiful. And the promise to Abraham was this in Genesis 12 originally. I will bless you, Abraham. I'll bless those who bless you. And him who curses you, I will curse. And by you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Are you from a different family? Are you from some other different distinct people from the Jews? All families. God wants you saved. Does God want you saved tonight? The Bible says he wants everybody to be saved. Therefore, that means you. He wants you saved. And how do you get saved? What did Nineveh do to Jonah? They repented at his word, the preaching of the law. They turned to God. And more specifically, we turn to Jesus Christ. Because what we're remembering tonight is that God sent his own son from heaven, up above the firmament where he lives. He sent him down here to this earth where we live to be a perfect son, to have no sins, to bear all the iniquities of the people on that cross long ago, that you might be forgiven and set free and saved and loved and have a joyful relationship with God for the rest of your life and the rest of your eternity. A joyful relationship with God through Jesus Christ. That's what we're celebrating this very night. That God sent his son into the world not to condemn it, but that the whole world, the world, might be saved through him. And he who believes in him, in the Christ, the Bible says, is not condemned. Let those words sink into your ears again. He who believes in him, in the Christ, is not condemned. You've passed out of judgment into life. Are you feeling a little joy? You should feel joy, God says. Say with David, this I know, that God is for me. And joy is the result. The ransomed of the Lord shall return, says the Bible, and they shall come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads, and they shall obtain joy and gladness, and all sorrows and all sighings will flee away. Amen.